Good afternoon, listeners of Medical Education's podcast series. I'm Kevin Eva, the editor-in-chief of the journal, coming to you again from a very gloomy Vancouver. In many ways, the weather outside is quite fitting, given that I want to talk a bit about a rather distressing set of findings, or set of challenges, I might say, for the medical education community. In the upcoming December issue of the journal, Winifred Lewis has submitted and had accepted a paper entitled Bias Against Foreign-Born, Foreign-Trained Physicians, Experimental Evidence. Professor Lewis has been kind enough to join me on this podcast today. She's senior lecturer at the School of Psychology in the University of Queensland. And I guess I'll just start by saying thank you, Professor Lewis, for being willing to do this.
Well, thanks very much, Kevin. I'm really looking forward to it. This is a great initiative.
Thanks. This is obviously a critical topic for not only the health professions, but any educational or even broader communities, the topic of bias against individuals from other cultures, nationalities, genders, what have you. What was it about the topic that prompted you to do some research on it and try to help us better understand it?
Well, my background is actually a social psychologist, so I study prejudice and conflict as my main research area. And I've looked at prejudice against immigrants in a whole variety of contexts. It's obviously one of the more interesting prejudices because whereas prejudice against other groups, such as, let's say, Black Canadians or First Nations Canadians, in some ways has been shown to be declining over a 20-year period, prejudice against immigrants and open prejudice against immigrants has been increasing radically, not just in Canada, but around the world. And there have been a number of legislative changes that some people see as instituting a nativist agenda, kind of protecting native-born citizens against foreign-born. And so it's very interesting for social psychologists to study this type of prejudice specifically because it's really been shown to be changing. So we can capture that dynamic of change in the moment. The other thing that's particularly interesting about doctors and highly skilled immigrants is that a lot of the anti-immigrant prejudice is associated with a kind of rhetoric of draining the resources of the welfare state. So you'll often hear people say that they're opposed to immigrants, not because they're prejudiced per se, but because they don't want taxpayers, you know, in the host country to support poor people and people who might need welfare. But with highly skilled immigrants, that line of rhetoric just doesn't apply at all. And so it's very interesting to see what happens in these cases. And one of the phenomena that people have only just started to study is called under-credentialing. And that's when the credentials of a highly skilled immigrant are discounted, and particularly when that person is from a country that comes from the third world. So a highly skilled immigrant, such as a doctor, ought to be protected from prejudice because, you know, Lord knows we need doctors. But being able to study this dynamic allows us to kind of look at several fascinating features. And on an applied level, you know, one of the ways that all the first world countries, including Australia, where I'm based, and Canada, but the US and Europe are the same. One of the ways that we're meeting our need for doctors is actually by taking them from the third world. So it's a very, very important question to know, how will doctors be received when they're here? Will their credentials be recognized and their skills used appropriately? Or will they in fact be subject to bias and perhaps shunted into jobs that they're highly overqualified for?
Yeah, it's a huge topic and a huge issue. I'm going to, just for the sake of brevity and keeping us focused in this conversation on your particular paper, I'm going to set aside the obvious ethical and challenging issues of the certain countries taking more physicians from other countries than they're able to return, recognizing that it is an issue. But with respect to the particular way that you went about studying this, one of the things that really intrigued me was that you've been able to move beyond the rhetoric or the anecdotal concerns that people quite commonly express about whether or not there are difficulties that are more likely to occur with certain populations of physicians, whether or not they're really up to par with respect to what's expected of a practicing doctor in whatever local context they happen to be in. And so you tried to control for a lot of those things. Would you mind describing for our listeners what you did to conduct this
study? Absolutely. I'm happy to do that. So we use experimental methods in social psychology because people are so unwilling to self-report their prejudice, and often they don't even have insight into their own prejudice or the ways in which they might be bigoted. So what we did was expose the participants, who were all prospective patients in a city in Australia, to the CVs of job applicants. And each person rated one CV and rated them in terms of recommendations for interview, perceived quality of education, quality of work history, and how much they personally would trust that. Now, the CVs were all identical, but the name and certain details had been changed to present the person, the target, who was a trained doctor, as someone that was either Australian or Pakistani-born and had been trained in Australia or the UK. Now, the reason we chose the UK is that it's actually very common for UK-trained doctors to come out to Australia, and it's very common, as in all countries, for foreign doctors to come. So we wanted to see, is it the case that a foreigner is the target of discrimination because of their foreign background, being from Pakistan, or would training in the UK in the first world partially defuse or entirely defuse that prejudice? Because there is often a language that's used to describe third world trained physicians that emphasizes a perceived lack of credentials. But what's important to stress in this case is that the doctors in question, they all had their undergraduate degrees and their internship and their 2 years work experience in their host country, that is in the country of training, I'm sorry, either the UK or Pakistan or Australia. But they had also worked for 2 years in regional Australia, and they'd been recognized by the state licensing board. So all of these people were highly trained with specific local experience, including in the state that the participants were from. And they all had a personality profile attached to their CV, which basically said that they were an average person. So they're all average people with the appropriate credentials, licensed and recognized by the state with work experience in the state. And then, you know, $1,000 question is, will the participants be prepared to recommend the foreign-born, foreign-trained doctors? And what we found was very interesting for us. We actually found, on one dimension, these Australian participants showed a preference for foreign training, in the sense that when they looked at Australian candidates who had been trained in the UK were evaluated very highly and positively. And when we looked at the Pakistani-born candidates, there was a bit of a more sober picture. And what we saw with the Pakistani-born candidates was that when they were represented as having their training in their home country, then across the board on issues like quality of education and quality of work history, that candidate was devalued. So even though they'd already been in the country for 2 years and been recognized by the participant state as a trained clinician and practitioner, the participants were less positively evaluating that target. But where that Pakistani doctor had received training in the first world in the UK, then the participants were prepared to rate them as favorably as the Australian candidates. So in that sense, the take-home message from this story is not just a simple message that the patients were suspicious of all foreign-born doctors. They were suspicious of foreign-born doctors, and they did devalue them, particularly where their training was in that host country, which wasn't recognized as excellent. But excitingly, from the perspective of someone who is in medical education, it turned out that even if you're foreign born, if your training is from a really prestigious institution within the first world, at least from the results of this study, that may not just give you the benefit of that training in terms of skills, but it could actually give you some social benefits of defusing some of the anxiety and prejudice that prospective patients have. So we were kind of excited by that positive message, although it remains to be replicated with actual decision makers. So our sample were prospective patients, and patients don't normally have input into who gets hired or how the doctor's treated. So it'd be really important to know if managers have the same kind of dynamic. And maybe managers wouldn't show any prejudice. Maybe they'd be willing to consider foreign-born doctors. But studies of foreign-born doctors and skilled immigrants have shown that prejudice is very common even among managers. So we expect the results will generalize to those samples.
Yeah, and if anything, I would have expected the patients to be less sensitive to the site of training issues than people within the community might be.
Yeah, I think you could be right there. And, you know, that's where we really want to be cautious about generalizing our results, but also potentially very hopeful, because I think that people are often making decisions under uncertainty. They might not recognize the names of universities where training has come from. And in those cases, that's where prejudice and stereotypes can apply and you can really suffer. Mm-hmm. But maybe one positive message is that if you have foreign doctors that come from places that you recognize, and perhaps even on an unconscious level you feel comfortable with, oh, they've trained in London, they must be great.
Right.
You know, then maybe that'll help to defuse some of the negative dynamics. There's a line of work in social psychology called aversive prejudice, which speaks exactly to this point. And basically, when someone has positive attributes, then the prejudice is kind of defused and not expressed. But as soon as there might be a negative attribute, like an unfamiliar university that person has come from, that's when people's stereotypes and negative expectancies get expressed. So we take this data as showing, I should highlight that I did this work not alone, but in collaboration with Vicky Essies, who is from the University of Western Ontario, and Vishal Alon, who's from York University. Mm-hmm. So we did this as part of a line of work on anti-immigrant prejudice in Australia and in Canada. But coming back to my original point, I just wanted to say that it's the case that across a whole range of prejudice groups, sometimes you don't see the prejudice as long as the situation looks good and the target has positive attributes and is being evaluated in a more neutral or positively valenced context. But as soon as you have one problem, if you're a member of a vulnerable group, as soon as you have one question mark against your name, that's where other people's prejudices can mean that you don't get the benefit of the doubt and the ambiguity is kind of held against you. So that's what we think of, you know, a problem for skilled immigrants and how to resolve it fairly. We can't just say that everyone needs to have training in the first world,
right.
But it's at least good to know that that people are prepared to give the benefit of the doubt under some situations to folks trained in the first world. That's good to know.
Mm-hmm. And so recognizing that this is one piece in a much larger program of research for you and in a much broader field generally, can I ask you to sum up by sharing what you think the most important take-home message would be for those working within the medical education community? Given that you've just said we can't expect all the foreign-trained docs to be trained in first world or in a limited number of institutions, what can we do to try to help support and perhaps more accurately recognize when one should be a bit more cautious and when they may be being influenced by some of these biases that you've identified here and elsewhere?
For me, that would be the absolute best outcome of this paper, and that's why we targeted it to the Medical Education Journal, because we don't think that people know about this pattern of prejudice, that we don't think that doctors and medical educators know that there's a kind of prejudice where sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't. And if you recognize that the possibility exists that doctors are being kind of protected against prejudice while they're in contexts where people are evaluating them positively in a neutral manner. But as soon as they go out into those communities where there's more suspicions that are active, there's more question marks, then I think you're really getting a handle on an important problem of recruitment and retention that I know you guys are interested in and I know that the doctors themselves want to address. So recognizing this dynamic and trying to recognize it on two levels, the institutional one, where you help train doctors to know that, you know, under some conditions as a foreign doctor, people are going to hold an ambiguity against me. But if I can kind of persuade them or show them the positive aspects, they may give me a chance. They may actually be open to me. That's kind of empowering them, the foreign doctors, while at the same time recognizing that there's a systematic source of social injustice, which we need to address in a broader sense, not just by asking the foreign doctors to try and be positive about themselves to defuse prejudice, but for us as a society to recognize that sometimes when we're uncertain, one of the ways that we resolve our uncertainty is by stereotyping disadvantaged groups and kind of rejecting them. And we should all be aware of this bias and particularly as decision makers try to arrest it and be prepared to give the benefit of the doubt and recognize the positive credentials of skilled immigrants. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you very much. This is very important work, and I want to congratulate you again on a very interesting paper and wish you luck with the continued pursuit of these problems.
Thank you.
Okay. Again, the paper's called Bias Against Foreign-Born, Foreign-Trained Physicians, Experimental Evidence by Winifred Lewis and colleagues, and it'll be in the December issue of Medical Education that you'll be able to download from www.mededuc.com. Thanks again, Winifred, and all the best.
Thank you, Kevin.